in Podcast Detroit, recording live. Prepare yourself for a hoppy drive. If you're chilling at home, pop that growler and just kick back for the next 2 hours. It's the end of the week, so here's to the weekend. It's Better on Draft with Rob, Matt, Nick, and Ken.
And we are live, Dry January, episode number 2, Better on Draft podcast. And boy, did we fill the studio today. My name is Ken, and before we kind of go into it, I'm going to introduce the couple hosts that we do have. Nick, how you doing?
Everyone at work thinks I'm crazy to do Dry January.
Are you still dry?
I am. What is this, 16 days now?
17th.
17.
Today's the 17th.
Yep, 17 days and still going, and they still think I'm crazy.
Oh, I mean, it's a good reset for your liver. We've been going hard for 4 years at Better on Draft, so it's a good time to, you know, manage everything. Next to you, we've got Ed. What's going on, Ed?
Not much. Good. How are you?
Good. Well, we know you're not dry.
No. I had beer earlier today.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you have? Let's live vicariously through you.
I had a bourbon barrel-aged barley wine from Eternity over in Howell.
I think that was to the bourbon barrel-aged barley wine, not to Eternity, right, Nick?
Oh, that's all.
Your choice.
The barley wine piece.
It was quite thin. It was quite thin. So I was a little disappointed. But otherwise, it said 11.5%, but I walked out of there feeling pretty good.
I bet you did at 11.5%.
So.
Welcome the newest host to Better on Draft, Wendy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. You want to get a little closer to the mic? Thank you. Are you dry for January?
We're doing damp January.
Damp January. What does that technically entail in your eyes?
That entails being able to have a cocktail or two when you're playing trivia.
When you're playing trivia, okay.
Or, you know, if you're out with friends.
Or if you're or in by your home. Or. I think that was, I was for probably a good year straight, I was only drinking at festivals and Friday nights. And then I started making those types of, oh, I'll do a cocktail here, or I'll do here, I'll do here.
A glass of wine here and there.
You know,
you're not a wine drinker.
I'm not. I did get wine drunk at a wine pop-up in Boston.
Oh.
They were a customer of mine, and we got there. That was their very first day. I got a wristband that put me into a section that had a charcuterie area and free wine, and I went to town.
Did you Uber back to the hotel?
Yes. Yes, I did. Because I had no idea where I was. Not for the fact of no idea where I was. I was in Boston. I just couldn't tell you where in Boston because it's a city I'm unfamiliar with. So I am, in fact, still dry. I feel like the Lords were tempting me this week in regards to I got my very first ever Delta upgrade to first class.
Yes, you did.
And turned down booze. And then when I got to the hotel, which was the Drury Inn, you got 3 free drinks a night.
What?
At the Drury Inn during their manager's hour. They also had free dinner and free breakfast there. So I had to turn down those. I also went to St. Arnold Brewing just to pick up some beer for Ed.
Thank you.
And saw a bunch of cheaters there. The Houston Astros were having a little fun press conference.
Oh, those bastards.
And I didn't drink there. So I am still dry as of 1:17. I did get the opportunity to try what we didn't last week, which was the Seed Lip. But we do have a accoutrement of just beer and cocktails. And speaking of cocktails, if you look at the bottom right of your screen, if you're watching, again, facebook.com/betteronDraft, you can find us live each and every Friday night, 7 p.m. In the bottom right, my front left, that's Nick Britsky of Nick Drinks. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What did you pour us?
Well, I poured you my favorite non-alcoholic spirit. So we actually tasted a bunch of them this past week or this past Tuesday on our Facebook Live show. We went through 22 different bottles, about 10 different vendors, and this is still my favorite. This is Ish. It's out of Denmark. They have 2 flavors at the moment. This is you're drinking a rum and ginger, which I think reminds me most of a cocktail. And the reason why Ish is a little different is they put a little capsaicin in there, so you get a little of the burn that you would kind of get from an alcohol. So it's super, super clever. Yeah. Well, I also did a pretty potent ginger beer, and that's from the guys at Q. So those two things together have a nice burn and I think remind me the most of a cocktail. So this right here, if I am going to drink Dry January, which I definitely have not been, this is what I would drink.
You know, honest.
Well, again, dry January is not necessary. Like, it's there's a lot of people. And one thing that I learned while doing a lot of research, talking to people and stuff, is that with dry January, especially with these non-alcoholic beers, alcoholic spirits, is that people want to participate in the festivities, mm-hmm. even if they are, you know, dry people, sober people, designated drivers, pregnant women. They want to participate without having to do the alcohol part.
Right.
And you can only drink so much soda. I think John Mulaney does a sketch about it, too, because I think, you know, he went sober when he was like 21, 22. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know you're sober, John. We got this 10-day-old milk. Is that okay for you? I don't have the comedic timing of John Mulaney, which I'm excited to go see tomorrow in Toronto. Not excited to drive there in the snow.
Oh God. Bless you.
But it is also the Toronto Festival of Lights. So I'm excited to go check that out because we got the tickets to the late show. So like from like 7 to 9, we can go check out the lights and then go see a comedy show, which I will still be dry during that entire night, weekend.
Wow. Good for you.
I'll probably go pick up some Aquavit over at the York Distillery over in Toronto. I'm going to bring a 24-pack of Letterkenny's puppers home.
Right.
My coworkers are huge Letterkenny fans, but most of them live in Boston, so it's hard for them to get it. So I'm just bringing it over for them for next week's – or not next week. The week after is we have like a yearly meeting, so there's going to be like 3,000 of my coworkers all flying into Boston. We're taking over like 3 hotels, an entire complex.
Isn't that when you're going to break your dry January?
I haven't fully committed to that yet.
Okay, because I know you've been talking about it. Like,
you'll have to wait until our third episode, which is going to be January 31st with Reputation. We have former owner and founder of Ellison, Eric Elliott, coming in, bringing his kombucha. We actually have some of it here today.
We do.
Let's go around the horn real quick, and we'll start off to my left. I'll introduce you to Shannon Long of Brew Export. What did you think of this cocktail that Nick made us?
I think it's awesome. I've had a couple non-alcoholic spirits, and I can see why this is your favorite. That burn brings you like right back to an actual alcoholic beverage.
It's a good one. Wendy, what did you think of it?
I liked it. Yeah, I...
Lost for words.
Lost for words.
Damn, Nick. It was that good.
Yeah, well, it's, I definitely like the burn.
It's reminiscent of a cocktail, but you're not going to feel the alcohol, the liquor, the, you know, what a lot of people think about. And it's a topic I want to touch on in a little bit in regards to ABV by dollar. But, Nick, I mean, this is one of your favorites.
Yep, totally. And these guys, I saw them online. I reached out to them. They were super gracious to send me the bottles at their expense. And I fell in love with them. And it's one of my better performing YouTube videos, too. I a lot of people kind of hunted that down. So, I mean, of all the ones we tried, everyone just has a little different mouthfeel. Some of them are really kind of like bougie water, and other have some nice viscosity.
That's a good way to put it. Bougie water.
So, and this one, they do a good job. I know he's working on some other products, which I don't think I can talk about yet. But the guy's smart, and... I really hope he can get some distribution in the U.S.
I was about to ask. Yeah. I was like, can we buy this in the United States?
Well, because you can ship it, in theory, yes. Like, he's barely in the U.K.
Okay.
So it's really like, you know, go to Denmark, hit up Legoland, get some ish, and then come back.
Sounds perfect.
And let's do a quick plug. Your YouTube channel is?
So it's youtube.com/NickDrinks. You can also find us every Tuesday live on Facebook. We have a pretty sweet giveaway right now. We got a $100 gift card from Maury. So you can enter on our Instagram channel. Just leave a comment, tag your friend, and we're going to make an announcement on Tuesday.
Awesome. Right. I feel like you're just a new host. Jack, welcome back.
Yeah, you know, I went for a whole year not showing up here, and then now in the past month I've been here 3 times, so thanks for having me. Luckily, I'm not doing a dry January. I might do a dry March if I decide to do a run, but otherwise, no dry months this year.
Now, you usually give up booze or really cut down when you're doing your runs, don't you?
Yes, it helps with training. I can't go drink and train the same day. Otherwise, it just doesn't help at all. I tried. It didn't work.
You want a trip.
Well, what about this cocktail that...
The cocktail's fantastic. What do you call it? I mean... As everyone mentions, the heat that comes out of it, and it's from the liquor and the ginger beer, is fantastic. It's probably the best non-alcoholic drink I've had. It's come second to drink with alcohol.
Ed, what do you think of this cocktail?
I think it's good. The one thing that from last week, we had Ritual stuff, and it had that peppery taste in the back. I don't know if you guys remember that peppery taste that we got.
Yep.
This doesn't have it. I like this back the back taste there or whatever that you're getting better than the stuff we had last week with the Ritual.
And it's interesting because Ritual just got purchased by Diageo either last week or the week before. Okay. So they're now joining Seedlip. Okay. So I think that's going to really push the industry because now they got a big boy to push some distribution.
Okay.
So hopefully that will kind of drag some of these other guys behind and up, you know, the
game, yeah, right? Right? Yeah, yeah. So I like it a lot better than what we had last week.
Where's Ritual located? Does
Chicago,
know?
I think. Oh, really? I think so, yeah.
Okay. We do have UK. Bottles we can look. Yeah. Seedlip's UK.
I have a bottle in my bag, too. Nick, what do you think of this cocktail?
The capsaicin in this is a brilliant idea that they use to make this stuff. I like spicy, and I think it helps, and it does, yeah, it reminds me of alcohol. So this is good. This is really good.
All right, yeah, I'm definitely feeling this this cocktail for sure. I definitely get the ginger in it. I would say between the ginger and capsaicin? Is that how you say it?
Capsaicin.
Yeah, it's a rum, so it's rum-ish.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly.
Like I'm just getting that like ginger burn you would get from a poorly made Moscow Mule where it's just all ginger. But it's got that smooth, almost like a 7 and 7, minus obviously there's no ginger, so maybe like a Jameson and ginger. So yeah, this would be something that I would love to just sip on and drink and enjoy without any issues. And you said you use ginger beer, capsaicin, the fake rum. What else did you use?
No, so the capsaicin is actually in the rumish.
Oh, okay.
So that's their kind of trick to give you
the alcohol taste.
The alcohol taste, yeah. And then I just added Qtonic ginger beer. So it's a premium ginger beer. It's the product, and that's it, ice. So,
well, let's talk about not necessarily NA cocktails, but non-alcoholic spirits. Has anybody come to – because we see Ashley Price over at Holiday Market post about people really wanting NA beer, NA or NA spirits. Are people coming over to Zatuna and asking for non-alcoholic replacements?
They are for sure, and for multiple reasons. As you mentioned, if someone's pregnant, they want to hang out with their friends and drink a beer. Or at least pretend to be drinking a beer versus everyone else having real hard alcohol, or there is, you know, a wine and so forth. So, and then people doing it just for health reasons. So overall, the sales of NA products have gone up with all my suppliers, as far as I know.
What are you carrying that's NA over there? Athletic?
We don't actually have Athletic yet. I'll reach out to them, see if we could bring them in. But we have a ton of other brands from the basic stuff that you could find everywhere, like Labatt's and O'Doul's and so forth, and some of the other craft, like Schmaltz and BrewDog. BrewDog has a stout, has an IPA, which actually have their stout in the bag for us to try.
Perfect. Oh,
NA stout to me is very cool.
I was actually talking to in one of the local groups, and somebody was talking about it, and they were talking to Travis over at Old Nation, wanting a non-alcoholic beer from Old Nation, and we were talking about, you know, names like NA43, but a non-alcoholic stout had come up, and I'm like, I'd never had a non-alcoholic stout. I've had plenty of other, you know, lighter beers, your blondes, your Berliner Weisses, obviously your Kolsches, your lagers, etc. So like a non-alcoholic stout just kind of blew my mind, and then, you know, people were starting to tag me in regards to what NA stouts. So I am excited to be able to try the BrewDog. That is for sure. Shannon, what about what's the industry looking like outside of the United States for non-alcoholic spirits?
Europe is way ahead of us. Like they
way
totally
ahead of us.
Way, way, way ahead of
shocked.
Us.
Shocked. I'm shocked.
So I was chatting with my UK distributor, and I was asking him, you know, how is non-alcoholic products doing? And he said within the next 2 years they'll be in double-digit sales for the whole beer category, which is really crazy. And they have their driving alcohol level is 0.03, so ours is 0.08, so they can't drink at all, and if they do, they get in a lot more trouble than we do. So it is, they are much more strict about it, and we're just all driving drunk over here, I guess.
Well, I think that's kind of an American anomaly, because I know in Canada a DUI is a felony,
and that you can't go across the border if you get one.
That is correct. Yeah. I don't know what the fall off rate is for a DUI. Is it 10 years?
Yep.
Cause I know I have a friend who, learned this the hard way by going into Canada and being told to go right back.
Oh boy.
Because obviously he learned that his DUI denied him entry into Canada.
Yeah.
So we're seeing it in regards to the world. Let's kind of crack open. We all have some glassware. Let's do the stout. Do we have a lot of them? Oh, Jesus.
Three cans, yeah.
Three cans, okay. So we're going to pass the Stout AF. that's the name of it, isn't it?
I know. I'm looking at the can. I'm like, oh, jeez.
It stands for alcohol-free, doesn't it? Stout AF.
I'll let you get the first crack on that, Kim.
So, like BrewDog, I'm a big partner of theirs. I send them a lot of beer from the U.S., but they obviously have like 60 locations over in the U.K., and they just opened a completely non-alcoholic BrewDog bar in London, which is pretty cool. Nice. And then I think in January, February, they're doing a completely non-alcoholic beer festival as well.
So, do they have stuff at the hotel? Can you go to the hotel and get the non-alcoholic stuff?
I believe so. I know they distribute it in the U.S., and probably. I imagine they have it at the hotel. They have everything there.
All right, we're pouring the stout all the way around. Everyone's getting a chance to try it. Thank you so much, Jack, for bringing this. Obviously, Zatuna Liquor over is in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road. Go say hi to this gentleman, and he'll talk your ear off for a good hour or so and make you buy a lot more than you need to, that's for sure.
I don't even have to try it with you. Come on. It's easy. No, it isn't. I want this. I want that.
I just kind of show up. Dan Cook, former... host of Better on Draft says Utah actually has a .05 limit for driving. A fun little fact about that. Yeah, so .03, .08 for here. What do they say? .08 is two cocktails, two drinks?
I believe. I think average person?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of factors in regards to male versus female, weight, how much you drink normally, because obviously the less you drink, the more drunk you get, kind of like weed.
Yeah. Well, time out. I mean, your blood alcohol doesn't have anything to do with how much you drink or how often you drink. Actually, it leaves your system faster if you don't drink as often, so your body filters it better if you're not a regular drinker, as far as my understanding.
Damn it.
Now, that said, you might handle your alcohol better than the average person if you drink all the time, but it doesn't mean you're – if two people the same weight, drank the same amount, blood alcohol should be about the same. You know, what they ate that day, how much liquid, water, and so forth they drank might affect it. But otherwise, if you just drink on a regular basis, it doesn't mean you're not as drunk. You just handle it better than the other person. That is my two cents on that.
That's fine. That's why we have you here on this show, Better on Draft.
You're the expert.
I wouldn't use that at all either.
Probably more than any of us in this room right now.
What are you guys thinking of this stout? Because this tastes literally like a stout. Yeah.
It smells like it, tastes like it.
I feel like this is one of the stouts that you would be drinking where it would have like a 12% ABV and you just taste zero booze in it and it scares you because you're like, this is going to get me so fucked up.
It's interesting because it kind of reminds me of the Guinness lighter scale of stouts as opposed to like the real heavy ones. Because it really has there's not a ton of body. It like kind of starts that way, but then it kind of peppers off, I feel like. Which is fine because there's no booze here.
There's still a little linger on it, too.
A little. Not a lot.
It's really smoky for me. I mean, I'm getting a lot of smoke action, which I'm enjoying. I mean, it gives it some flavor.
I think it smells fantastic.
They really nailed the nose.
It is a little thinner than I normally like for a stout, but...
I mean, it's the best NA stout I've ever had.
Not
going to
complain.
No, it's the only NA stout I've ever had, so...
I think that is true for me as well. Even though I've carried this is the first time I'm trying it, and obviously it's thin, but it's 0.5. It's got a nice roasted malt note to it. They did a really good job with it. If I had to drink this, I would, and I'd be happy drinking it. I wouldn't be complaining.
Well, let's kind of go back to your whole running thing, because you were talking about how... does it have a calorie intake on there?
Not much, probably.
By chance?
I'm looking at the can right now.
I don't think it does.
Shannon, do you know by chance?
I don't.
She's a partner with BrewDog. I just assume she might know some of these
things. I'm withholding all my BrewDog comments right now.
Calorie count of every one of the beers. Let me look it up.
Count of every single beer.
And it's interesting because I would almost, if I didn't spill my simple syrup everywhere, I would put a little in here because I almost would be curious a body from a little bit of sugar in here. And they probably don't want that because they probably don't want the calorie count. But I'd be curious what that would add to this.
The people that drink this don't really care about calorie count. They're drinking it more for either they got in trouble and they have to drink NA beer.
Because it's still 0.5.
77.
So, okay.
Oh. Okay.
So there's a little booze in here.
That's lower than Bud Light.
It is. It's more than Mick Ultra, though.
And tastes better.
Or what's that, Mick 56 or Miller 56?
Miller 64.
Miller 64, there you go. I'm like
Mick 56 sounds like McDonald's.
Or, you know, it? Maybe the new 40s from Mickey's, the Mick 56.
Oh, jeez.
56 calories per serving, 40 servings per bottle.
Oh, gosh.
I want to bring up kind of a big discussion in regards to alcohol and ABV, because I know a lot of us have probably had those nights where we regretted it the next morning in regards to how much we've intook. Does alcohol by price factor into when you're buying something? So when you're looking at a beer and the beer has a high ABV, or when you're looking at a cocktail list, or maybe even when you're going to a bar that might be a little, you know, a few levels higher upscale than you, and you're like, well, I ain't going to pay, you know, $30 for the Grey Goose. I'll go $10 for the well alcohol. Does the cost per, you know, the cost per ABV factor in? Like, Nick, like, have you ever had that?
No, not
just
so much.
Just kind of go whatever, just, what you're looking for?
Yes, I'll do the label shopping a little bit every once in a while. Like when I got my first very big paycheck at my current job, I went and did and bought Johnny Walker Blue Label, and just because it was.
Did you go to Zatuna Liquor?
I did not. Oh. I'm sorry, Jack. I'll know better next
time. Shame
on
you.
I know. But no, I don't think, next paycheck. ABV, no, I don't think so.
I think there's a point in time where you treat yourself when you get those Johnny Walker Blues, or you get those, like the bottle that I bought you for when we, you helped me move that one day.
Yes.
You know, those are special occasion type bottles. But like when I'm going to a bar, depending on if I'm driving or not, like obviously that's a huge factor in scale. Like when I was driving from, or what the last beer festival I went to, so it would be the Fall Beer Fest that Saturday, I was asking for half pours of so many of these high ABV beers because I'm like, I don't want to get completely tanked again.
keyword.
Friday night was really rough. Well, Friday was rough because we were drinking since 10 a.m. We were doing interviews for Better
right,
on Draft
right, yeah.
over at Eastern Market, Brewing.
Yeah.
And we were just drinking beer straight from 10 a.m. to, you know, 1 a.m. And that was a long day, that's for sure. So that next day, like, you know, I'll look at ABVs when I have to drive. But when I was younger, I was looking at ABVs for if I was going to have a night that I wanted to forget.
Go big.
I was definitely going for well liquor. I was going for the cheapest to get me the best drunk. Maybe not necessarily in the booze aisle for like parties, because I could never keep up with my friends. My friends were definitely shot drinkers, and I was always beer drinkers. So when, you know, your friends are drinking, well, whiskey straight from the bottle, and I'm drinking Coors Light straight from the bottle, they can get drunker faster.
Right.
I go the opposite. So if I'm looking at a beer list, I'm looking at ABV because I don't want to get blitzed. And if there's similar products that are maybe one has a lesser ABV, I'll go for the lower one just because I'm probably out for a longer night.
That's an interesting concept, Shannon. You're not
100%
in your...
with you. Mm-hmm. I always look for what I know is the best tasting at the low ABV or like that style, that flavor that you're looking for. So
yeah, I don't even consider it.
You just do it.
Just the product, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why I love having sours on draft. Is they're usually the lowest ABV beers on a menu, and they have great flavor. So, yeah, I'd love to have my 12% stout, but have a couple of those and I'll have a whiskey, I'm in trouble.
You'll think if you kind of gamify it a little bit, think of it as like your health bar. Like, you can have more drinks with less ABV and keep going longer.
I think when I'm doing, if I'm drinking for the long haul, maybe it's like an NCAA tournament day and I'm planning on watching a bunch of basketball games, or, you know, like a Super Bowl where the game lasts for 6-7 hours, or, you know, these days, if I'm a big wrestling fan, so it's WrestleMania and that's like 8 hours long. So when those days happen, like, yeah, sure, I'm going to go towards the lower ABV if I want to keep that constant buzz, or I'll go towards a liquor, which I like, but I know I can only sip. We had this when we had Kazmara on, and I tried to, like, you know, slam real quick the last 4 ounces of whatever the soda was, and it was just the worst feeling in the world.
Right.
Not because it tasted bad. It's just something you cannot slam. Now, Shannon opened up something.
I did. I brought a lot of beers.
Let's talk. Let's keep the conversation going. What'd you bring?
So this is the Athletic Brewing Company, and they're the only one I know, let's see, east of the Mississippi, a non-alcoholic brewery. I could be completely wrong. There's probably some I don't know about. Well, Toronto does, but in the U.S. So Athletic Brewing Company, they're over in Connecticut, and these guys are hot right now. So they're targeted at people like you. They, like, sponsor a lot of runs and marathons and you know, athletic brewing company. It's kind of in the name.
Yeah.
And these guys are super hot right now. Like, you can buy their stuff. You can just order it online. And so, like, I bought this online and had it ship it right to my door. And they have this, I think it's like a double IPA or like a hazy IPA. I can't remember. But it'll sell out in like 32 seconds. I'll be online and be like, ready. And I still won't get it. And it's like, that's how quick some of these beers are moving. And they like can't keep them in stock. They were this summer, I think they were back ordered like 60 days or something. People were really upset. So someone's drinking it, I guess.
So which beer is this from Athletic?
So this is Run Wild. This is their IPA.
Okay.
And I have to say, I bought this. This is like a couple months old. So drink it.
The hops kinda may with have the, fell
like,
off.
Yeah, they have fallen off. And one thing I say about non-alcoholic beers is don't necessarily. You guys can pass this around.
Oh, sure.
Don't necessarily like expect it to be a full beer replacement. Like it's not going to taste identical to a beer. Just you know, like that stout was actually pretty close.
Yeah.
But if you're looking. If you're like looking to scratch that beer-ish itch, you know what I mean? It does a really good job to be a complete replacement of beer. You're going to be a little bit disappointed.
And it's something we also found out is if you look on the back of these non-alcoholic spirits, they all say 12 weeks since you open it. So you definitely have a quicker timeline than you do for regular spirits.
Wow, that's interesting.
I mean, it doesn't taste. It tastes almost like
an IPA.
Yeah,
it tastes pretty close.
What's the pale ale or a session?
Yeah,
with
malt to it.
Ooh, yeah, so that's definitely what I'm getting.
70 calories.
Really?
And
aren't IPAs typically very high in the calorie count?
Booze,
typically probably 250. Yeah. The alcohol sugars in it. That's
usually 250.
That's kind of if you ever look at alcohol and you want to know how much like calories or even specifically how much sugar is in it, it's all really based in the proof. Mm-hmm. If you look at the proof, that's why Captain Morgan has a smaller proof or a smaller sugar, smaller calorie intake because Captain Morgan is 70 proof.
It is
75 proof.
Is it 35?
35%.
Yeah.
Really?
I know it's less than the standard 80 because.
I did not know that.
Yeah, when Bingo Square, when you're looking at keto and you have a drink this, not that.
That's the free square.
Captain Morgan is one of the things people suggest to drink because it's not considered a cordial like you would like a Kahlua, which has a bunch of calories in it because it's got a lot more sugar in it. Because you're supposed to drink something straight. And when you think spiced rum, you think there might be a little bit more than just the booze in it. But yeah, since it's a lower ABV, you can obviously drink it longer. I've never really had Captain Morgan straight, though. It's not something that I don't think any. Has anybody ever had Captain Morgan straight at this table?
In high school.
Yeah, I was much younger.
Maybe on my 21st birthday. I don't know.
I was thinking, because I drink rum straight. Like, I've had, like, there's a couple Mount Gays that I really, really like. And I'll drink them just. Pure straight,
but you're not drinking like Captain Nelson straight.
No,
Admiral, sorry.
Sailor Jerry.
Yeah, Sailor Jerry's great. Yeah.
I think Sailor Jerry's on.
Time out. Sailor Jerry's also 92 proof, so it's higher alcohol. Yeah. There
is it for real?
Yeah, 92 proof. I mean, it's 10% higher than.
I mean, I trust him in regards to knowing all these things. Did you just open up another beer?
Yeah, we're working through all of these. I'm taking none of these home.
All right, so this
is not worried. No one's gonna get drunk. I'm gonna push it all on you.
Partake Brewing IPA.
That's in Toronto.
That's in Toronto. Oh, so I can actually go check it out. I wonder if they have a tap room?
I don't know. Let's find out.
just to say, this Athletic is awesome.
Yes.
This tastes like beer.
Yes.
Well,
okay, I feel like I try to like set the bar low, but I'm happy.
No,
you
it does
guys
taste
like
beer.
It.
Yeah. One of the big things, I don't know if you guys saw the article about quitting your job and starting a six-figure career in brewing.
I didn't read it yet, but...
It's a very first of all, I messaged Kevin DeGrid over at North Center Brewing, which is over in Northville, Michigan, just south of Baseline Road over
awesome
at North Center.
Sponsor,
and I'm like,
right?
You know, yeah, he's a sponsor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, well, it looks like you can afford more because you're making six figures over there. it was a Business Insider article, and they definitely did not have the inside track. They were able to pick very few high. So Athletic was on that list. Athletic was one of them. Yeah. And when you talk about a company where they can't, and they've got a huge barrel system too, in regards to producing, and I'm surprised they haven't started contracting, but I think non-alcoholic beers take a lot longer to make than the standard alcoholic beers.
What is the process? Are you taking the alcohol out?
That is I am not answering any questions about the brewing process. I do not know how they do it. We should bring in a non-alcoholic brewer, and it can't be two roots. because Two Roots has a de-alkalizer. Like, they have a machine.
But that isn't actual.
Right.
No. Two Roots, you can taste it. It tastes different because of their process. But I think every single one of these that we're going to try uses some other brewing method that I do not totally understand.
So I just did a review of the Heineken 0.0 or whatever, and they seem to vacuum it out or whatever. Oh. There was something on their website. It was like it went over.
Visualizing that right.
Right,
now.
And I put it in my review. I was like, this sounds like a nightmare for every single brewer out there. The fact that you have to like vacuum. I don't think literally
like a shop vac, you're right. Big one.
Right. I think it's just
the Black and Decker
describing it. It's like there's a whole website. I know Nick or Ken has his. See, I did it too.
thank you.
Right. This is just a general area, but
it's okay. I've only been on for 200 plus episodes.
Yeah, right. Well, wasn't this episode 2 of the Dry January?
The Dry January. So I'm going to go through this real quick while the can's going around and everyone's getting a chance to taste it. But a website, which is a homebrewer's website, so I would assume the same mentality goes through with brewing a larger. Uh-oh, Nick Britsky is not a fan of that beer.
Neither is this Nick either.
Yeah, I'm with Nick on this.
Once your beer is finished fermenting, you will need to heat it to 175 degrees Fahrenheit for 15 to 20 minutes. Alcohol evaporates at a lower temperature than the rest of your beer. So by heating it to 175, alcohol will evaporate and leave behind all the delicious beery goodness you spent so much time making. When heating it, it is important to stay as close as you can to 175 to prevent from flavors falling off. So that is the beginning of...
And that could be the vacuum too. So then, if you're basically turning the alcohol to vapors, then you're vacuuming off the vapors. That makes sense.
Okay.
You know, with my chemistry 101.
So, shout out to Midwest Supplies, which is a home brewing, wine making, hydroponic, and gardening supplies company.
Hydroponic. Yeah.
So a little
which
bit of.
One was that, the Partake?
This was Partake IPA, and it was canned in May. So give it a little.
Oh, I haven't even had
a
taste
of it.
I wasn't prepared for the bitterness. It was
it's there.
It's like I almost want some of the malt to balance out that bitterness, and it's not there. So I mean, I don't hate it. I just wanted like some. Maybe if you would have given me a warning,
I
would have appreciated it.
I think you set the bar really, really high with that.
Yeah, the first one.
I started out strong.
You started out way too strong, and it's like shit. I want that. You know.
Well, like let's continue.
Well, I just opened one, so I'll interrupt you real quick.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Grateful. Oh, yeah. We're going back and forth.
Back and forth.
I have a whole cooler bag that I'm not taking back with me either.
We're going to be here all night.
I'm not taking this back to the store.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Go this way.
Let me make sure I'm recording this episode, Shannon.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What is this?
Listen, that was the best mistake I ever made, losing that first half when we had Ian on from Sellerman's. Which you can actually go Ian over at
RIP
Griffin Claw.
Yep, because he is the cider maker over at Griffin Claw. Andy is over at Urban Rest. That's who I was thinking about because I was about to say Urban Rest. And I did find out where Dom works, but I have not gotten permission to.
Because this is a dry January, I got to
mention
plug
it.
Urban Rest. They have their kombucha.
Yep.
So like they always have it. Right. I drink it all the time because it's one of the only breweries around here that has kombucha and like a kind of non-alcoholic.
Right.
Yeah, because Unity Vibration just blows that out of the water by making 8% kombuchas.
Yeah, I mean they do lower ones too.
They do both, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they're just the non-alcoholic one distributed as much.
By the way, since there's no label, this is Klosthaler grapefruit NA beer.
Where is this from? Where is
Germany.
This at?
They sent me. It's not sold in Michigan yet. They're going to be selling it probably next month. And I mentioned to them that we're going to do a dry January, so they sent me samples of it to share.
Awesome.
So
we'll make sure to tag them in the post for sure. I'm getting a lot of fruit smell on this for sure.
I got a lot of dank smell.
It's like a Radler, basically.
Yeah. Ah. Ooh. But I'm all excited now.
NA Radler. Which I brought another one.
Is this 0 or 0.5? 0.05.
I think it's 0.05.
That's it. I mean, the label is like, you know, the bare minimum to like probably cross
international borders.
Who's distributing this?
Tri-County.
Okay, cool.
UPS.
Yeah, this is just the, what do you call it, just for samples that they sent out for the show. So
it's like number 2, don't drink if you're pregnant.
Yes. Actually, no, you can drink this. It's 0.05.
Well, that's the warning says. It's probably the only label they had.
We're going to be up against a break here in a second, but this would be a great question to ask Shannon. What is the laws and regulations separate from shipping beer across to another continent that you have to put on the labels? Because I know we mentioned, was it Puerto Rico? You need to have different label for beers in Puerto Rico.
The shit I ran into with Puerto Rico was I picked it out on a Bell's label. It says, Puerto Rico, do not litter. And I like called out Bell's in the Puerto Rico, and like Bill found all this legislation that says if you're gonna, because they apparently they just throw away the bottles. There's like Bell's two-hearted bottles all over the beaches and stuff because there's no regard for.
There's no deposit,
right?
Probably.
There's no deposit, but then there's also no regard to recycle. So that's why it says Puerto Rico, do not litter. So that has to be printed. So they just print it on all the labels,
okay,
just to cover their basis, I guess. That's what Bill found for me.
Fair. What about shipping to?
Definitely something I face like every day with exporting. I would say one of the most challenging ones I face is Russia. We add a whole new label to every single bottle that goes over there. So that's thousands and thousands of bottles that are hand labeled. Because I mean, at these volumes, the breweries aren't going to run a whole new batch,
right,
for us and things like that. And then China is another big one. The UK and Europe, they have kind of a different Surgeon's General statement-ish thing, but they're really concerned about making sure the ABV is on the product. So usually we're pretty set if the alcohol by volume is listed on our labels. And anything else, we just put a sticker on there and add it.
All right, real quick around, what did you guys think of this grapefruit Radler from Germany?
Very good.
Tastes like a Radler.
I love it. It's super sweet and tasty.
Yeah,
I drink this at home.
Shannon?
I mean, it's a little too sweet, but, you know, it's enjoyable, just not quite for me.
All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break. We are going to reset. This is the Ferndale Sets Break, Brother Son. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast.
I'm headed for the city, trouble in my mind. I'm way too young and pretty. Something while we can. I'm headed for the city to make me start again. Conversation I wonder. Gotta go, gotta get it.
And we are back. Episode 2, Dry January, Better on Draft podcast. Nick Britsky over at Nick Drinks is finishing up the cocktails for everyone here as he starts pouring it around. One of the things that... Thank you. Oh.
Whoa. There's something in there.
It's a garnish. You unclassy.
I know. I almost drained. Like, oh,
I'm definitely very unclassy. I don't drink too many cocktails that have garnishes on them.
There we go. Oh, darn it.
You trying?
Is this supposed to be like a martini?
So yeah. So one of my favorite drinks is a martini, but the problem is, you know, like two of them and you're on the ground. So this is a non-alcoholic vermouth right here from Australia from Lairs. And then this right now is my favorite non-alcoholic gin from Monday. This is actually a Kickstarter that they ran. Yeah. And this has some nice viscosity on it, so I'm a big fan. And then the way I'm kind of making it a little more authentic is I'm adding a little olive brine, which I normally don't do for martinis, but I feel like it adds a little depth to it. And then, yeah, I'm throwing in an olive. So
what do you do with the olive?
Eat it.
Okay. I don't drink martinis.
I was going to say, I'm going to be honest, I've never had a martini in my life.
Thank you.
Like, never ordered one, never. They've scared me for some reason.
All right, so I'm going to be number three for no martinis. Nick, have you ever had a martini?
Yes, I have, actually.
All right.
The bar formerly known as Centaur.
Centaur, okay, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Wendy?
Martinis are actually the reason I like olives.
That's awesome.
So olives are the reason I ordered martinis, to eat blue cheese olives at the bar.
What about Bloody Marys? Anyone? Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Those are awesome.
Okay. All right.
I don't like Bloody Marys.
Me neither.
Not a tomato juice fan.
Nope.
No.
Or spice.
I like ketchup, but not.
It depends how you make the Bloody Mary. I mean, my Bloody Marys are like a whole meal. You got bacon in them. You got cheese. You got everything.
They make them with sliders now.
I'm always thoroughly impressed with what people can do with a Bloody Mary in regards to their garnish for a Bloody Mary. I know I've seen like Bobcat Bonnie's have like ridiculous garnishes. A few places, and you'll see these on like, you know, whatever random Thrillist, BuzzFeed, Eater, Detroit, etc. post that you look at, Metro Times, where they have like the most ridiculous Bloody Marys ever, and it comes with, like, you know, it's a $50 martini, and it comes with a 12-ounce steak on top.
Wait, I already got one.
Oh, you got
that's yours.
That's mine.
Thank you.
That's
I was wondering yours. If that joke would hit.
Yes,
it hit a couple people.
You get the pictures with all the accoutrements.
You just pictured a 12-ounce steak on top of a martini or a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, or White Castles or whatever.
We are seeing the trend of non-alcoholics. Obviously, the you know Europe is a way ahead of us in regards to non-alcoholic beers. But the other trend that is still crushing it to the point where big beer is getting into it, and bigger beer, I should say, because big beer is already in there, that's the hard seltzer industry. Bud Light Seltzer just came out recently. Jack, are you carrying that?
Yes, we did.
Our people, yes, we did.
We are carrying it, and it's doing really well. Everyone was, I had a list of people wanting it before it came out. Which,
wow. That's crazy.
You expect that for Bourbon County or something, not for Bud Light Seltzer.
Well, then we got Corona, too, coming out.
Corona's coming out. Well, the big thing with Corona
one,
is Constellation is pushing a huge marketing and like R&D into Corona. I believe it is for, and I thought I had the article up, but I might not have. But they're putting in like $40 million after losing, you know, so much money on the purchase of Ballast Point.
Right.
That's still the craziest thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, Jack used to have the $1 billion brewery now in Michigan banner. Yeah, so Corona's pushing it. I think a lot of, because Mark Anthony Brands, which is, what's
Mike's
that? Mike's Hard Lemonade. Thank you so much. I couldn't figure that. I'm like, it's right there. They're good. Bon and Vive, I think, is Budweiser owned. Anheuser ABI owned. Mm-hmm. Does Molson Coors have a major seltzer that's out? Maybe Truly, or is Truly?
Truly Sam Adams.
That's
Sam
right.
Adams.
That's why they bought Dogfish Head, because they were selling so much Truly they could afford it, but to stay craft beer, they have to have a certain percentage of beer in their sales portfolio to technically be craft beer. And since Truly was selling so much and so well,
they needed
someone big that was willing to sell. And I think there was an opportunity in regards to Sam Adams, because I think Sam Calignone, or however you want to say it, is still a pretty big dog over at
Dogfish Head. So I don't think they did too much except just acquire them.
Molson Coors is planning something for 2020.
Yep.
So funny story. I've been trying to export hard seltzers because that's what I do is export stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we're, you know, want to bring in these non-alcoholic beers to the U.S. I'm like, oh, we'll send some hard seltzers. And they are laughing at all of us. Like they do not. They're like these Americans with their their water alcohol flavor things.
It's like LaCroix, right?
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I've had people literally laugh at me. But it's, they're moving
well,
it.
Let's time out and go back 15 years when, you know, West Coast IPAs were a thing and everyone was like, oh, American IPAs and this stuff is so bitter and so terrible. But when we had Stone on. Rep from Stone. When we were at live at Kunin at Summer Solstice, and we had a guy who used to own a Japanese beer bar, like a craft beer bar, and they went fucking nuts over West Coast IPAs.
Well, because if you look at Japanese, a lot of them are like a highball is basically hard seltzer. I mean, it's seltzer and whiskey. That's it. So I totally see that connection because you're basically saying they're lighter.
What do you mean? No, like the West Coast IPAs are bitter.
Okay.
Like hardcore bitter, like
hop in your face.
Like you drink it to torture yourself, in my opinion.
Got it.
Oh, you don't like IPAs though, so
sorry if I offended anyone.
There's
that's
another
listening.
Bingo square. Ken shits on IPAs.
Well, I mean, I said Stone earlier because that was my first exposure to the IPA. Style.
Okay.
And that was like, you know, Stone's really known for their IPAs.
Right.
And they still are. Mm-hmm. And that was that almost ruined it for me.
Oh, okay.
Like right up, like, okay, I'm never touching another IPA again.
Sure.
Stone's definitely not the introduction IPA.
Well, exactly.
What is the introduction IPA, you think?
I mean, I would definitely
I would never
say,
start with an IPA.
If you had to go into an IPA, what would you suggest?
I would try
a hazy, a New England style IPA.
England's pretty good. To be honest, I would put Centennial because I think the malt build of Centennial from Founders is a really good malt build. Mr. Blue Sky, I think, is a really easier drinkable IPA. Two Hearted.
Mr. Blue Sky
is a pale ale.
No,
isn't
it's
it?
A Belgian
it's
style wit. Yeah.
Wit. Oh, style. What am I thinking from
Griffin
Claw? Norm's Raggedy Ass. There you go.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad. Sorry, Griffin Claw.
I know Sierra Nevada. I mean, well, they've been around.
Well,
forever.
Sierra Nevada,
that's
I think,
a
is a lot. Yeah, Sierra. Well, they have Torpedo, which is that
Torpedo
IPA.
Way that if you want bitter.
Yeah, Torpedo's
what's Fat Tire?
Fat Tire
that's
is a Belgian
amber.
Amber. But it'd be their Ranger, which they used to have because now it's been rebranded as that.
Really?
Voodoo Ranger.
Yeah. Voodoo Ranger's their new line. Well,
just from personal experience, anytime someone said they didn't like IPAs, I'd have them try a New England IPA, specifically M43 or any of the other ones. They've had a better chance of liking that because of all the different juicy and grapefruit flavors you get out of that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying.
That was a weird silence.
Shannon did not understand.
I
was trying to get her to open up a
beer. I was like, what?
Trying to get her to open up a beer. Speaking of IPAs, though, I don't know if you guys saw, but PBR is getting to the IPA game.
I saw. It was the
Captain.
Yeah, that was weird
for me.
The Captain Paps.
I didn't like the label.
You didn't like the label. So the label.
I don't know. I wasn't excited at all when I saw that. All
right, hold on.
So this is called Seabird IPA. It's brewed with Magnum, Citra, Cascade, and Mosaic hops. It's named for the last ship Pabst captained. The beer checks in at 4.5% ABV, which is pretty low for an IPA these days. Pabst beached the Seabird on shore of Lake Michigan's Whitefish Bay in an 1863 storm and then abandoned the nautical career for his father-in-law's brewery. Pabst died in 1904. So this is Captain Frederick Pabst. This is the Polliner Weizen Radler.
And this is N.A.?
N.A.
Non-alcoholic, contains less than 0.5%. It says with lemon juice.
Wait. I want to make sure we're on the same page. Are you asking about the beer we're opening, or are you asking about the PAP stuff?
The beer we're opening.
I thought you were commenting on the PAP stuff. I was like, hold the phone. That's not
NA.
Okay.
No, that's clocking in at 4.5%. I don't know if it's their Their only probably it is their only IPA because they just launched. Didn't they launch a coffee?
They're hard coffee.
How's that doing, Jack? Pabst Hard Coffee?
We can't keep it in stock.
Really?
The Pabst Hard Coffee can't keep in stock?
Yeah, it's doing really well.
Jesus.
I'd rather
have
drink
you
that.
Had it yet?
That's I've had crazy. It. So it tastes great. I mean, I'm a big coffee drinker. Now, I've never had a Yoo-Hoo, but everyone tells me it tastes exactly like a Yoo-Hoo. So anyone, you know, that'd be the best way I could describe
crazy.
It. It's like a chocolate coffee, 5%. It's too sweet for me. I mean, I liked having one, but that'd be about it. You know, I won't drink more than that.
Both these two Radlers that we've had is too sweet for me.
I like it.
Now, that said, there is a lot of other brands now, going after that category and producing it, and they're all doing really well. There's one brand called Brown Bomber, I think, that's done pretty well so far, and there's other ones doing it.
I think, what's it? I think Southern Tier actually has a hard cold brew coffee that they sell. I remember a friend posting it. I think it's got more a mocha flavor to it. I think it's got chocolate in it, as opposed to just being a just a standard a cold brew coffee, let alone a hard cold brew coffee. To be honest, what I would love to see with these is a cocktail, like these Radlers. The kind of like what we were doing last week with Casimara Club is just a nice topper to a cocktail.
You
got to
cut them down a little bit. I mean, this one's really sweet.
Yeah, this one and that grapefruit one from Germany was a bit too. I don't like sweet, so it's probably fine for somebody else.
I mean, people that like Radlers like them sweet, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely up someone's alley in regards to a Radler. Wendy, what do you think of the Pauliner?
I like this one. I think.
Did it get to you?
I think it's a little bit sweeter than the other one, actually.
Yes.
Sweeter than the grapefruit one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually prefer the grapefruit one.
I think they're trying to do too much with this. And I love regular Pauliner too.
Right. I think it's good. It definitely has the lemon juice coming out. It just tastes lemonade, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm getting.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you the last time I had an actual lemonade.
Good lemonade.
Side note, do you guys like shandies? Like a summer
yes.
shandy?
Yeah, I do. I love the turbo shandies that come out of Hoppin' Frog.
That's the best. That's 7%.
Yeah. Well, that's their lowest ABV beers, too. I still don't understand how. Well, because Hoppin' Frog existed during the ABV limit in Ohio, and they played everything under that ABV limit. And then the second that they launched the ABV or changed the ABV limit and fixed it, they just went to, you know, ham.
Went
but,
to
like,
town.
7% is their shandies, and that's the lowest ABV. They don't have anything lower. They don't have a pale lower or an English mild lower. Like, 7% is the lowest they do. And when you're talking about those types of laws, so, you know, Dan mentioned Utah earlier having a .05 limit for driving. Utah actually weakened their or changed their ABV sales, and that started back in November. So November, you can get higher ABV as well as you can get it, or sorry, you can get grocery store beers as well as convenience store beers. So Utah had a lot more stricter laws, probably more in the lines of what Ontario does with LCBOs and beer stores. And people are talking about how it is hurting. They're talking 25 to 30% cuts of stores that were selling beer on border cities.
Wow.
So remember when I believe it was Michigan made Ohio made the no smoking law. Michigan was behind on this, and people were actually coming to Michigan border cities to smoke in bars, and they were crushing it until Michigan made an indoor ban themselves, and therefore nobody, you know, they lost all that business that they gained. How do you think? It's hard for someone. I'm curious what your guys' opinion is on how to address that type of sales loss. How do you think you can get those people to come back? Because obviously now they can get it anywhere they want. Is it kind of a lost cause? Because for Ohio, you know, we can get Yingling in Toledo, and I'm sure some of those borderline liquor stores, say for instance Three Floyds starts coming to Michigan, you know, those border Indiana, some Ohio stores that carry it, Gaze over in I think it's Angola, there's a few border stores, they would lose all that business of people coming over there.
Right.
Jack's looking at me weird.
Well, I mean, there's nothing you could do. to get that back, the only reason people are coming to you because you have something that they can't get close to them. Why would they drive 45 minutes or half hour now to just get that? You have to have something else that you're offering for them to drive.
I was
going to
say, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, so don't do vaping in Michigan.
Well, I think there's also some of the magic, too. So you think of, like, going to I'm trying to think of all the strange brews out there that are kind of like the destination breweries. What's the one up in the New England?
Trillium?
Like Trillium. Yeah, like some of those. Yeah. And
Alchemist,
thank you. That's what I was trying to think of.
Oh, yeah.
And
took us four tries, but we got the one that you were looking for. Because all of them are very...
Well, right. Yeah. But just like there's...
Meccas.
You're making a trip out there. And if they did do distribution, A, their product would probably get a little weaker. And B, you'd lose some of that magic of going out there and like hunting it down or trying to trade for it on a forum.
Right.
You know, there is some kind of magic to having that limited distribution.
Well, there was a huge thing when Michigan or Shorts announced that they were going out of state.
Oh, yeah.
Because Shorts was a huge exporter for beer traders in the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. If you wanted New Glarus or you wanted, you know, something that's more state specific, Shorts was a really easy trade bargain.
And
you know,
Joe was always saying, I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to trade out of state.
Well, Michigan made Michigan forever. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later,
we're going out of state.
I've exported them. I've sent them out of the country.
What does like Europe think about? Because you talked about how they laugh at us about the seltzers, but what about all these adjunct beers that
were?
Oh
my god, they love it.
That went
the opposite way.
I can't get them enough. I like hazy, crazy IPAs with, you know, however the list of 45 different hops in them. And then, yeah, I mean, we're selling the Oreo. I had one shipment. I had four Oreo beers in it. I was like, what is going on? I mean, it's cool. I get worried for people who drink all the, like, pastry stouts. So it's like, not good for you. It's a lot. But we're sending them. They love them. I can't do, like, to mainland Europe, I don't do much of, like, the kettle sours and things like that. Mm-hmm. They have Belgium. They have Canteon on the shelf for, like, nothing. You know what I mean? Right. I'm like, I don't blame you. Good drink Canteon. So, and then, yeah, as far as, like, the golden ales and the pilsners and things like that, those sell like shit. I don't think I've ever exported a golden ale in 5 years.
All right. So the can that I just cracked real quick, this is, I got this from Oath Distribution. I believe they're launching it here. It's called Brown Acid. Do not pour yourself more than maybe a shot of it. Yeah. As we kind of talked about earlier, this is a cold brew coffee. This is non-alcoholic. It's not a NA beer or anything like that. But that 8-ounce can has 300 milligrams of caffeine in it.
And so what does coffee normally have?
I believe it's like 80 to 100, okay. From what my guess is, like a full 8-ounce hot black coffee.
Okay. So this is like a 5-hour energy.
Yeah, minus all the B vitamins. Well, minus all vitamins, I should say.
So how many? That's 8 ounces right there?
8 ounces, yeah.
Because I was, like I said, I was looking at this Reputation one that we have.
Yep.
And it has 200 for a 12-ouncer. So it's a little less. But
yeah, so
still...
each ounce is about, what, 38 milligrams of caffeine. I had one earlier, and I fell asleep, so obviously caffeine does nothing to me.
There's a limit, too. Like, I want to say there's, like, a medical limit of how much caffeine you have.
There's a suggestion. Okay. I've definitely gone over that suggestion
countless times.
Oh my god. especially back for when I was drinking energy drinks, like,
yeah,
you know, I was doing four monster cans a day.
I still don't know how you're living with us, you know.
Oh, I mean, that was, you know, 3 to 4 a day, maybe. You know, some days I had 3 or some days.
Every
I,
day, though? 7 days a week?
But at least 5 the days I was working.
The fuck? Like, come on.
He's only 25 right now.
Yeah, I had a full head of hair, and then I started drinking energy drinks.
This is cold espresso. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Like, I cold espresso, yeah, that's a great way to, as I'm thinking about it, because I'm like, you know, I don't like espresso, and then I've had, like, you know, a chilled or a colder version of it. And
that's what it is. It's got the concentration.
Yeah, the depth.
Maybe a concentrated coffee.
Maybe,
even,
yeah.
You know?
But you crush up a caffeine tablet, put it inside it. There you go. Bottle it.
Yeah,
I don't do caffeine, and this is not my favorite.
I'm sorry.
Tasty and caffeine.
That's payback. I was going to say, is it too bitter for you? Is it bitter?
I mean, I like coffee. That's bitter. Espresso, okay. I guess I've never really had that much of it. But, like, caffeine in general, I feel like I have a cup of coffee and I'm, like, having a heart attack. So it's just, okay. like, I'm just, like, working at a high level all the time.
Sure, sure, sure.
So this is, you just passed me Two Roots New West, 120 calories.
So
is
good.
This what I think it is in regards to...
Michigan?
Well, no. THC?
No.
No, no THC. Well, it's Two Roots, so I didn't know if it was.
Non-alcoholic. They do THC and, well, yeah, and then like CBD-infused beverages.
I don't know if you were bringing us an extra treat, you know.
No. These are just straight non-alcoholic, but this is the brewery that bought Rochester Mills.
They just bought the production facility over there. They didn't buy the tap house.
Correct.
So
they have the production facility, and they're going to be producing
the Two Roots, non-alcoholic, and then hopefully they start making the THC beers over there, because that is a huge category. Wherever when I was in Seattle, they had a bunch of THC drinks at a I'm about to say apothecary dispensary. Same
apothecary.
Whatever. You know, I couldn't think of the word dispensary, so
I
say apothecary.
Do you play Dungeons and Dragons?
No, I've been watching Schitt's Creek a lot.
Okay.
So I wound up bringing back a bottle, and it's got like 100 milligrams of THC in it. And it's only like a 12-ounce bottle. And I'm like, that is way too much for someone like me, because I don't smoke that much, or I don't smoke at all. So my intake of THC is very, very low. And this guy was pure salesman. He's like, just put a wine cork in it, like a little rubber wine stopper, and you're good to go. And I'm like, motherfucker, I guess I'm buying this. What do you guys think of this Two Roots? I think it was an IPA, New West IPA.
I don't know why this beer sounds so familiar. I think we've had this on the show before.
We might have when we had episode 200. I know Eric Brigham brought us some Two Roots beers to try. Obviously, none of the THC beers. But so, yeah, we probably would have tried this, because I doubt they have that much of a big amount of beer that he probably could have secured to bring over here from Two Roots. Yeah, I like it.
I mean, for me, I can't tell. Like, this tastes like a normal IPA to me. I mean,
I can't tell.
You don't like it at all?
I don't like it.
You shouldn't have led with the Athletic. You should have. The Athletic should have been the last one.
Yeah.
That was the best one so far.
But it's better than the other one we had.
Definitely better than the Partake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better than that one. But it's like, but you kind of said it earlier. You said, you know, don't think of it as a beer, because it's not, you know, that sort of thing. You shouldn't be looking for it. But. I don't know.
This one, I mean, for me, everyone's got their opinion. I just feel this is my favorite by far.
I think this
over
is
the Athletic?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I drink a lot. Like, I always, like, in my fridge, I have Athletic and I have Two Roots, and I always grab Two Roots. No offense to Athletic.
I think I need to clean the glass out, because I just got a little bit of the lemony Rattler in there. But I think both of them, if you tried using that, you might get a little bit of a better.
Oh, if I had a clean glass?
If you took a little bit of each and mixed them together.
Of the Rattler.
Rattler with the Two Roots. Oh. But, you know, we don't have a dishwasher in here. So
everyone's favorite website, VinePair, produced an article recently in regards to why Dry January is bad for beer, bad for restaurants. Nick, you recently just held the 2019 Golden Jigger Awards, which Standby won for Best NA Program.
Yep.
Are you seeing a lot?
And Casamara won Best Product.
Casamara won Best
Product. So that included alcoholic products, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What are you seeing in regards to the spirit industry for the mocktail category? Because I've seen your standards, like, a Shirley Temple or a Virgin, you know, Strawberry Daiquiri. But we're seeing a lot more emphasis on true, like, the effort you would put into a cocktail into a mocktail.
And it's the same things you brought up when we first started. It's, you know, you're out with friends that don't want to drink, can't drink, trying to slow down, trying to pace themselves, and they still want to have fun. We're just getting to the point where we have more options. And I think that's, you know, it now as you open these brewery or now as you open these restaurants, they almost have to have a couple non-alcoholics that aren't soda. So I see it more and more. I think the bigger point of that article is January's already such a crappy month for restaurants. To put this non-alcoholic on top of it, you're getting a double whammy. So you're getting a slow month paired with people not spending money on a high profit product like alcohol. You're kind of hurting them on a two front. So I think that's the bigger point of that article. But I do want to see the non-alcoholics go further because I think it allows more people to participate in fun events, and you're not like stigmatized for not drinking.
Well, that, and again, you're not stuck with soda or whatever, you know, whatever mixers they bought for their alcohol. You're like, well, I guess I can have Sprite and Coke as my two options. You know, Matt always talked about come January, you know, his biggest seller was Miller Lite. He would talk about how much he would sell Miller Lite because Miller Lite technically has a lower carb count than Mich Ultra does. Mm. So not necessarily a calorie count, but a carb count. So I know a lot of people are probably trending, at least in January, towards either being dry or being, you know, low calorie. A lot of people are getting, I think a lot of people are just getting more generally health conscious about what they're putting into their bodies. We are not necessarily doing the same thing every Friday night with the beers that we drink. But what about, you know, I hate to keep bringing it back, but are you seeing the same thing in Europe? Like, are they being a little bit more health conscious about the lighter beers, the lower calorie beers? Because Bell's just launched a low-calorie beer. I'm trying to think of what else I just saw. I just saw another low-calorie beer on the I-94 East heading into Detroit. I'm trying to think of the name of it, but I can't. But, yeah, we're seeing a lot of more low-calorie beer options. Is people clamoring for that, or do they just want their beer, fuck the calories?
I mean, the people that I'm selling to are craft crazy. I mean, they want the crazy beers, the crazy U.S. beers. So the people I'm selling to do not care whatsoever about calories, light beers.
They're the ones that want the 10 words in the beer, the
exactly.
Marshmallow, vanilla,
a paragraph. So, yeah, that I mean, I haven't seen any of that. But, I mean, there are all the articles that come out about non-alcoholic beers just talk about millennials and how everyone's more. They want all the experiences and the socialization of consuming alcohol in, like, social situations without the negative side. They're a lot smarter than we were, I think. You know what I mean? I think I'm a millennial. But, you know, they don't want to have to worry about driving. They don't want about any negative consequences of consuming alcohol. I guess they looked at the generations before them. And
There's more information out. It's so more accessible. You know, when we were, I mean, yes, we saw examples of it, but, I mean, literally you can read and you can watch. You can see all this stuff. It's just more, it's harder for people to avoid it because there's so much out there.
Well, I know Wendy brought us a treat from Supernatural. Speaking of a brewery that's local that's making a non-alcoholic beer, it's Bong Water.
what?
Not a fan of the name.
No.
I wasn't a fan of the name. But
why don't
I
we
think it's,
pass that around? You said it's kind of in the same institution as Lagunitas Hop Water.
Which is my favorite.
Well, they were trying to make it a little more IPA-ish than the Lagunitas. I've never had the Lagunitas Hop Water, so I don't.
Delicious.
I can't actually.
This is just
compare
pure, pure clear.
But.
So it's really like a hard seltzer, a hoppy hard seltzer is what it misses.
All right, as we were pouring it around. So Supernatural, that's out of Livonia. We actually had them on the show. That was the glitter beer that we had that Matt poured all over his pants.
Oh, at the beer fest.
No, not at
that
here.
Oh,
I mean,
here.
They did it at the beer fest, but it was here.
Yeah, he did it at the beer fest.
Yeah, they did it at the beer fest.
Matt.
So while you guys are trying that, Ted in the chat told us that Goose Island just launched a new low-calorie IPA. I know Miller 64 is on a huge kick in regards to January, saying, you know, maybe it should be dry-ish. They use the word moist in their commercial, moist January.
I like damp better.
Yeah, damp January sounds...
Yeah,
that,
we voted on it.
Mm-hmm. have you guys ever had Miller 64 before?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think I have. I definitely had Mich Ultra, but Miller 64, I think, came in after I stopped drinking really low. And this is 2.8% alcohol by volume. Looks like a 12-ounce can, 64 calories, hence the name.
When I drink at bowling, that's typically what I'm drinking.
Oh, then how do you get a good buzz to roll good?
Well, because I don't drink at bowling. I just throw. And I somehow do okay.
What is your guys' go-to sport that involves drinking? Like, is it a golf? Is it a
cornhole?
Do you play in any leagues or tournaments or anything like that, or
no,
just in your friend's backyard?
College. Supposedly, my new job has one. There's a tournament that comes up in the summer, so I'm trying to mentally prepare for that. But I think with cornholes, it's the balance. So you have a beer and you have the bag, and so it kind of balances out your throw.
I had played Dane and his friend over at Easter Market Brewing, me and Matt did, and they beat us in four turns, and I'm not talking like one and one, two and two, like one, two, three, four, game over.
Shoot.
Wow. How did they score? Did they score?
They were scoring cornholes, like the three-pointers.
Okay,
and
barely were canceling.
Yeah, we were doing canceling, but like we were getting it on the board. They were getting it just in
the hole.
Yeah.
All right.
And
I'll say it.
It's one of those, like, and you would have, like, a bunch of bags all around the hole, and they would be able to, like, launch it right into them, like,
oh man.
Not get any in. Yeah, they were very, very good. It was the tailgate we hosted over at Eastern Market Brewing for the Chicago Bears game, because obviously the owners of Eastern Market are Chicago Bears fans because they're Chicago boys.
Gotcha. My go-to with drinking and sports is golf. You know?
Golf.
I usually sneak them in my bag and then have a good time, so...
Jack?
Golf and Beersby. I don't know if you ever played where you put a pole with a bottle of beer on it and you try to throw a frisbee and
knock
it over. And if they're supposed to try catch the bottle so it doesn't hit the ground or catch the frisbee as well.
Yep.
Also, not to move on from one subject, as everyone's worried about calories, why are they drinking beer? You know, because all these breweries that are doing low-calorie beers, they're all lower ABV, like... might as well not drink beer. We're drinking something else. You know, the one from Goose Island that you just mentioned, we just got it in, it's 3%. The new one from Bell's is going to be 3.7.
Well, it's not necessarily the placebo effect as much as why people want to drink NA beers as opposed to drinking beers with alcohol. They want to drink beer, but they don't want to fill up on calories. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not there to I can understand what you're saying if I went in and I drank 15 of them. And then that's, but I mean, in the same sense, sure, I'm drinking 1,564 calorie beers, so I'm bringing in about 1,000 calories, but if I'm drinking 1,550 calorie beers, you know, I'm doubling, you know, two and a half times in my calorie intake. And if I'm trying to be health conscious and I want to get blitzed,
why are you drinking beer?
Well, I mean, you're going to get the same effect if you drink booze.
But isn't that the push kind of the seltzer craze? Is that it's less calories and you're still kind of getting the alcohol?
Well, you're looking. So if you look at,
I could be.
You're looking at calories, and it's the exact same thing in regards to booze to ABV. Okay. So the higher the ABV, because I think Bon and Viv is a little bit less per bottle or can or whatever than your Truly or White Claw. But again, it's a lower ABV, so low calories. Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, I prefer NAs. I think I describe non-alcoholic products like decaf coffee. Like, why the hell does decaf coffee exist? You don't want the negative side effects of caffeine, but you enjoy coffee. Like, I enjoy beer. I like, you know, having a cup of coffee in the morning or in the evening. You know, it puts you in a mindset. Beer can do the kind of the same thing and without the negative side effects.
Well, kind of like chamomile tea.
There you go.
You got tea without caffeine. So... that would be my answer is that there's, you know, either it's the person that wants to get completely wasted, but also not want to have a, you know, an extra 1,000 empty calories, or the person who wants to have the experience of beer without the experience of bloating or carbs or, you know, because some of these beers, especially those pastry stouts, you're talking, you know, probably 250 to 300 calories.
Oh, easily.
Depends on what brewery. It could be way more.
Like 450. I've seen the super, like, really concerningly high.
I got some from De Hops I can't wait to have. A good pastry stout. It's a fudge pastry stout.
So we had Adam, I can't think of how to pronounce his last name, Adam G. from Great Lakes Brewing.
Okay.
I ran into him at World Expo Beer, and he had the entire list of calories and everything for his entire portfolio in regards to carbs. And I said, what's your lowest carb beer? You know, just curious. I wasn't going to drink any of it. I had a little bit of Holy Moses because that's just my go-to. But the lowest carb beer was 14 carbs of beer. So if you think about it, just straight carbs, not necessarily the alcohol sugars in there, straight carbs, you're looking at, you know, 60 calories just in carbs itself for the lowest one. So it was probably a pale ale, a Kolsch, or something like that. So that's still going to be 100 plus. I don't know how it works with Guinness, because Guinness has always been a low calorie beer.
It's
sense
not a lot of alcohol
stouts.
Either.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand why people think it's heavy. That is the weirdest thing I've ever
heard. Because it looks heavy.
I used to drink it in college all the time.
Yeah, but it's light.
Sip on it, but it's low alcohol.
Yeah, I've crushed like a six pack of Guinness, and I'm like, oh, what the hell happened? Like, why did I only buy six? I should have bought 12. Nick, what about you in regards to? We'll go around the circle about the sports while drinking, and then we'll take a quick break.
What we're drinking right now, the Lagunitas,
the hop water.
It's the Lagunitas is awesome. And I've had this before. The bong water, just the mental image of bong water is just really turned me off to the drink. So
all I can think of is Grandma's Boy when Rob Schneider throws out the bong and says, "You forgot smoking lamp."
I really like the Lagunitas. The bong water just it mentally turned me off.
So when you're drinking though, what do you like to drink during a sport that you're playing?
Yeah. I mean, it's cornhole or it's
that's right. You said
darts,
cornhole.
Something that I can balance my arm with.
Steel tip or plastic?
Steel tip. Oh, no. Plastic. Plastic's weird.
It's fair. Wendy?
Yeah, let's be honest. I don't play sports. I do like to...
Or what about beer games? Beer pong? Flip cup? That's a sport.
Flip cup, girl. Your flip cup. One flip.
Quizzo?
trivia?
Watching, though, I do... I'm a DCFC girl, so...
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. Watching while you're drinking, drinking while you're watching soccer.
You get your smoke too on that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't combine alcohol with really anything. Whether it's like power tools, anything with coordination, like I'm gonna get hurt. I keep those separated.
You shouldn't be drinking while using power tools because you're gonna fuck up. And they're gonna have to go back and fix.
Yeah, we're talking
you just
like
fucked up.
Like you can't cut off your finger playing golf.
Right.
I'd find a way to hurt myself. I'm just not. I don't do it. Not doing it. Crash the cart or something. No.
I'm no definitely. Sports, no. I can put them away when I'm bowling. That is for sure. When I play any other sports like disc golf, like I can't drink when I play disc golf. It's just a weird thing because. I don't like it. I don't like getting drunk and having that different because you're it's a really weird feeling. I don't think because I don't have as much muscle memory as bowling. Like I've been bowling for, probably I'm 33, so probably 28 years. So I have that muscle memory, whereas disc golf, I don't play as much. I don't, so I smoke when I do. I do cigars. Mm. So everyone laughs at me because when my cigar is gone, my game goes to shit. Because it's like you were talking about having a beer and a disc in one hand or a beer and a dart in one hand. It's that balance thing. You lose that balance, you're gone. We're going to take a quick break. This is Brother Son. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast.
Money where my mind is, and I like it that way. Ha!
And we are back, Better on Draft podcast. I believe Nick is gone, therefore Mike 4, I will mute. There we go. Video is good. We just poured some Punk AF from BrewDog. What's your guys' opinion on this? Go right into the review portion of it. Not everybody at once.
I like it.
I think it's okay. Oh, it's better tonight.
No fan. No fan. That is bitter as fuck. Like, bitter in a bad way. What is
my palate could be ruined, but this doesn't taste that bitter to me.
No.
So.
Yeah, I don't like bitterness, so anything that's on the lowest level of bitter.
Yeah, there's a couple things that you guys have called bitter earlier today, and it could be my palate.
Probably dry, maybe. Maybe dry.
It's dry for
dry.
Sure. Yeah,
it's dry for sure. Dry, but I wouldn't have said bitter myself, but yeah. I agree with you. It's, you know, nothing special. I'd rather drink the stout.
Oh, sure. I'd rather drink the stout, too. But I actually picked some of this up to review later this month.
Well, hopefully you do a better review than I do.
Well.
the standard's easy to beat right now.
Ow.
Damn.
I did not say that, by the
way. I'm messing with you. Only for that one.
I would say, though, I had the, and I don't know, it's all NA, but this is better than the Heineken I had. Earlier this week,
did we bring a Heineken? No. I saw we have a Labatt NA over here.
We do.
That's my father-in-law's beer of choice.
Is the Labatt NA?
Blue? Yeah.
Oh.
Or Labatt Blue?
No, the NA.
Blue NA. Okay. Somebody want to see if they could reach it and we can crack it open over here? Maybe. There we go. Wendy's got it. She'll start
test.
It. Yeah. Might as well keep going. Jack's right. Brought some bottles out too, which we'll start cracking open. Guys, we're trying to get through this as easy as possible.
At least it's all NA. You know?
It is all NA. This is kind of the same thing that we do for a regular show, except that has booze in it.
Yeah.
So we cracked open the Labatt Blue NA.
And the, well, she has the Punk as well.
The Punk, yeah. Shannon's drinking the Punk. What did you think of the Punk, Wendy?
Again, we've had better tonight.
That Athletic was really, really good.
It is a little too bitter for me as well.
It's a little more watery for me than the others. But maybe it's because we just drank all that hot water that I'm, like, feeling.
That could be.
Feeling watery?
Moist or whatever.
Damp.
It's a damp January for some of us here.
Water is wet.
Water is wet. And what is it, beer? Or water is 80% beer, according to Matt. Okay. One of Matt's best blunders ever was water is 80% beer. Jack, don't look at me like that. It was.
How much was he drinking?
A lot.
Okay, at least that explains it.
I don't know. It's one of those times when I think Matt's brain moved slower than his mouth, and like the idea and concept of what he was saying hadn't fully formed in his head, and he just went with it. So we still love Matt, though. He's so many things that he did with the show, you know, between the five questions, the structure and everything. And, of course, what we got coming up here, March Draftness.
We do.
Is going to be coming up in March, which is our head-to-head online competition. Unlike where we just kind of tell breweries that they're in it, we ask them, invite them to be in it. The Wayne Brewery will get a keg of beer bought by us and given away by us. So we literally show up to a brewery and we give away a keg of beer to whoever's there. I mean, it's planned. Like
it's
people
planned,
are
right,
people
right.
are invited. So the first time we did it, Baffin, we actually wound up buying two kegs for them. The first keg went in 45 minutes. The second keg went in 25 minutes. and that was Mango Unchained, their IPA. The next year, they decided to make it a very slow burn and not invite everyone. They just kind of told their, you know, their Mug Club members.
Sure.
That it
Which
was
are
there.
A lot, though.
Yeah.
They had a lot of Mug
yep.
Club members.
So that keg lasted about 2 hours.
Okay.
And then last year we went to Brewery 424, and we had, I believe it was their New England that we were drinking over there. Mm-hmm. They're coming back. Got the official word from them.
Good.
So we are going to keep Baffin retired.
So I think
their banner still remains in the rest.
You know who's gonna, because they were our second place last year.
Austin Brothers will be back.
Austin Brothers group is going to come back with a vengeance.
I was really hoping like the 96 corridor would have banded together based on who won after that. Because there was a lot of people voting for Drafting Table, Eternity, Draft Horse.
Aberrant.
Yeah. Brewery Becker even had a round or two, one, two. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do too much. After the first week or two, they didn't do any. And then they're like, oh, we better start trying. And then they tried and lost. Poor Matt.
Yeah.
Love Brewery Becker. Speaking of which, when I went to St. Arnold, that is such a gorgeous brewery over in Houston.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I went into the wrong building, which I believe a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So they have a brewery building where they do like private events, and then they have a like beer garden and tap house, and that's where the beer sales and everything is. So I did my own private tour.
Good.
The brewery, because there were people there and nobody questioned why I was there.
They don't. I mean, I don't think.
One of the brewers just smiled and waved and said hello, and I just kept walking.
It's like Texas charm, man. There are some happy people down there.
But yeah, it was a really, really good place. Again, I didn't drink there, sadly, but I'm probably glad because I would have been really pissed off. The Houston traffic is horrible.
Uh-huh.
I went to Whole Foods after I landed, got to my hotel, went to Whole Foods a mile away. Took me over 30 minutes to get back home. I should have walked.
Yep, because it would have taken you shorter.
Drive San Francisco.
I have driven San Francisco.
What are your thoughts?
I didn't have any issues, but I was also driving like 2 a.m. and 6 a.m.
There's no one on the road.
Yeah, I can't say too much. The last time I went to Sacramento, I drove into San Francisco, and I got in at about 11 at night.
Mm.
And then the first time I went to San Francisco, when I got into San Francisco, I wound up taking an Uber at like 2 a.m.
Oh, gee.
So, yeah, I guess I really haven't done too much because I've only worked technically in Oakland or El Cerrito.
Yeah.
Never worked in San Fran.
Yeah.
So
when
you went
nightmare.
To St. Arnold, did you see did they still have the tour sign up? They give free tours like 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
I didn't notice it.
Okay.
I also wasn't looking for it. I wasn't reading signs because the first sign when you walk into the wrong building tells you to turn around and walk out. So
you are in the wrong building.
Reading is not my... I just saw it posted to the pub, and I'm like, okay, I go to the pub. Apparently the pub was the investors pub, which is like a private club or
private. So you went upstairs then?
Yeah.
You gave yourself a private tour then.
Yeah,
okay.
Not on purpose. It just kind of happened.
Right, right, right. So you were in like that beer hall.
Yeah.
Right? That big-ass beer hall, and they got the taps at the end. And okay, very cool. Very nice.
Yeah, notice their point-of-sale system. I texted you that.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, they use...
What, this is
red.
The Labatt NA I think we just poured out
the
to everyone?
Labatt tastes like ass.
Yeah, this was... it just tastes like sugar.
That's what I thought.
Like sugar water. Or like if you put like a little bit of sugar on your cereal, that sugar added to the milk and that milk taste. That's what I got. Your brother says hi, by the way, Shannon.
Johnny. What did he message you?
Did you have any other brothers? I don't know.
Is he a long lost brother?
Long Shannon Long.
Oh man, I did not plan that.
Killing it.
he just says hi, Shannon, in the chat.
I'm in text him. So he's actually pretty cool. He texted me today. He's like, Shannon, I think for my bachelor party, I want to go to the BrewDog Hotel.
All right.
In Ohio, so working on setting that up for him.
What did you think? Obviously, you carry this.
I do carry it.
Do people buy it? This doesn't seem like a...
That's definitely on my slowest brands, and we might have discontinued it, actually.
The shelf turn.
I mean, maybe age might be better for this beer, because this beer... listen, I don't like... Obviously, this is Labatt, so I'm sure... What's Labatt USA Constellation still? So I doubt they...
Is Labatt USA Constellation?
I think so.
I think there's someone else, actually. I can't remember the name. United.
It's so hard to figure out who owns who and which country.
It's the same company that owns Magic Hat and a couple other brands. I don't think they're Constellation, to be honest.
FIFCO.
Yep.
Looks like, yep. So FIFCO USA, FIFCO, headquartered in Rochester, New York.
Florida Ice and Farm Company.
Subsidiaries is Genesee Brewing Company, Labatt USA, Independent Brewers United. They're actually owned by Cerveza Costa Rica S.A.
Interesting.
I feel like they're just going to go into a rabbit hole to figure out all of this. Because, again, when we talked, because remember when we started the show 4 years ago, that's when the SAB ABI.
Sad Miller.
Yeah, the Sad Miller ABI merger was starting.
Yep.
Like that, that took over a lot of our shows in regards to talking about merger acquisitions, the business of beer, and all of those things. I just. You know what? I can actually do this because I won't feel bad. It's not alcohol abuse. I think that's the first time I've ever poured out technically a beer.
During the show.
Jack, you brought a couple bottles out there, the darker ones with the white caps. What's that over there?
This is another Klaus Heller, but this is their Noel.
Noel.
So obviously it's not going to be available right now, but they just sent me samples of it anyways. This will be available for this year Christmas and so forth.
So it's just like a test batch, and then they're going to brew full next year?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. Using the holder.
So we'll get. Is this like a winter warmer? Is that what it's supposed to be? A Christmas ale?
You know what? They gave me the paperwork about it, and I forgot it in the car. So
we'll see. I guess we're just gonna figure it out ourselves. Right. Yeah,
we're gonna drink and
good
find
thing
out
absolutely none of us are cicerones. Don't look at me. I have shit taste.
This are is funny that this
Jay?
Is non-alcoholic.
Nope, I'm not okay. Cicerone.
Why is that?
Oh, it still has all the like. Do not operate a vehicle. Do not do this. Do not. Drink if you're pregnant, blah, blah, blah.
I wonder if they're just canned beer labels and they just like add the numbers or add the information on it just so they don't have to.
It's like a spiced ale with a lot of sweetness, with a lot of sugar.
That's good.
Do any changes, you know what I mean? Like how they have, there's a few brewers who like, you know, it's the exact same label, just the one little thing different.
Well, these are just sample bottles that they sent. I think this is whatever that they normally put on all their other products.
Oh, I love the spice smell.
It's so good. It's like a cookie.
I just got one over here.
It's like those molasses cookies.
Ginger
molasses
snap?
Cookies? Ginger snap? Ginger snappy? Ooh. Yeah. Did you have some?
This is actually this is one of the better ones tonight.
Sweet. It's sweet.
Not but, like a sugary sweet. Right. Like that you know, molasses. I'm definitely getting molasses. I'm getting ginger in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some type of like allspice maybe instead of ginger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really.
This is a beer. It reminds me of cider.
It reminds me of I'm trying to think of the. You'll have to give me a second for.
It tastes like somebody put a cinnamon stick in some warm burners.
Ooh,
that's pretty accurate.
The sweetness from burners. Yeah, I can see that.
I'm going to everyone's favorite website, Beer Advocate, to try to figure out.
Are you looking for ciders or are you looking for beers?
No, I'm looking for beers because this is exactly. I was trying to figure out who made what the name of it was because it was a Boston beer and it was called Old Fezwig.
Oh yeah, that's Sam Adams.
That's what I'm getting from this. Yeah, is that old? I was like, it's a Sam Adams beer, but I just don't know what it was named.
Old Fezwig.
So yeah, that's definitely what I'm getting on here. You know what? As I'm seeing in the list, 4Elf. This definitely has almost the tastings of 4Elf. I can't tell you the last time I had a 4Elf that wasn't barrel aged in something.
Okay. So
honestly, I can't tell you the last time I had Dark Horse. Maybe when John Pippenbrock was on, when he was working for Dark Horse at that time. I'm getting the sweetness now a little bit more after I took a bigger sip, almost like a syrupy sweetness.
Yeah. Right. I like it a lot.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, this is something that I could like drink all night, but I'd be sipping on it almost like it should be like a high ABV beer that I'm
right
like don't want to crush.
Yeah,
well, if it gives you the flavor without the alcohol, it's perfect.
Yeah,
and especially if it slows you down, like you can't crush it.
Well, oh, I could crush the shit out of this.
Well, what would also be good is if you're looking for a constant buzz too, like mixing these into your rotation of drinks for the night. Like this would be something that I'd want to like. Oh, you know, maybe I had a few too many too fast. Let's drink something, you know, keep the buzz going, but drink something that's not alcoholic so I can just kind of keep, you know, with the pace of what I'm drinking because I've never drank too fast.
Have you gone to a Michigan Brewers Guild festival?
You know, when I was a rookie at the festivals about 10 years ago, yes.
Was that the first the time that you and I just went?
I can't remember. I drank a lot.
Yeah. We probably shouldn't have driven home.
What?
No.
Yeah, that's I mean back when I was younger, I can tell you how many times or I can count way too many times that I definitely should not have driven home.
Especially any night that involved going to Luna. if you guys have never been there when it was open, they used to have on Tuesdays was $2 you call it from 9 to 11, that was anything you call. So
that was,
I was drinking
industrial night.
Yep, yes. And then Wednesday was free drinks from 9 to 10, and then $2 you call it from 10 to 11. Wow. And my you call it was always Bell's Amber. That was my go-to you call it. So $2 Bell's Ambers.
That's a steal.
At a bar, yeah, for
sure. Right.
Those were definitely interesting nights, to say the least. So those those were nights where, like, every single night involved, like, a themed drinking night. Like, Thursday was always either billiards or karaoke at Augie, or $3 Boombas at Augie's, like $3 yes. Guinness Boombas. Fridays, karaoke, Saturdays, karaoke, Sundays, bowling.
Yep.
So every night, like back in my 20s, like every night involved some type of alcohol and usually a cigar for me.
Back before the smoking ban.
Yeah, back before the smoking ban.
Yeah, this is before the smoking ban.
Yeah, back. I tell you what, when they banned smoking indoors, my bowling average went down like 30 pins.
Wow.
It was ridiculous how bad I started bowling after that.
How good are you? How do you bowl?
If I was a consistent bowler, like I bowled weekly and I stayed, you know, in bowling condition and, you know,
condition, really?
Yeah.
I mean, condition means you bowl at least once a week.
Okay, okay.
You know, I'd probably be around the high 190s, low 200s.
Oh, okay.
Now, like, honest to God, Nick could tell you, like, yep. I can either bowl like a 480 or I can bowl a 680. There's no happy medium for me.
It's completely polarizing.
What about you?
Right now, this season, I'm shooting 177. Okay. That's my current average. I think my high game is, it's like 220 or 210 or something like that. I've had one 600, maybe like a couple 600 series already, but nothing. Not much to talk about. We did come in second in the first half of the season, though. Our team. So,
cool.
Yeah.
There was only two teams in the league.
it's really eight, but yeah. That's another story.
So in the chat, Johnny Log asked me if I have my own ball. I have two of them. They come in a roller sack, so I can carry them into the alley. Rebecca Wells Nuno says hello to Jack and Wendy and asks if we tried anything from Athletic. What was the name of that first beer we had?
Fucking delicious. It was Run Wild.
Run Wild.
Run Wild.
And Johnny, I got six, just to let you know.
Jesus, Nick.
I know. I just got
six balls?
Yep. Five of them drilled, one undrilled.
I have the same two that I've had for
33 years.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I got
and
six.
I only throw one of them. I never throw the other one.
Well, I actually
I have a bowling ball with somebody else's name on it.
Nice.
Is it like Shirley or something?
No,
Arlene.
Larry.
Larry? Yeah.
Got it from a garage sale.
Right.
No, it was a friend.
See what happens, Larry.
He gave me the ball so that I could use it when I took my college bowling class.
Mm. I took a college bowling class. Well, which school did you go to?
Eastern.
Oh. I went to Macomb, and I'll always remember the guy's name. He is he technically is a professional golfer and a professional bowler. To be a professional bowler, all you have to do is like pay. I think professional golfer, you have to get into it. So he was the golf teacher and the bowling teacher at Macomb. His name is Enrico Odorico.
Nice.
That's a name I'll never forget in my life.
You said it had a good.
So
I don't know
he,
what, that's called,
what was but. Great was is that in that class there was like four bowlers in the class. Okay. So he would spend 10 minutes with us at the beginning of the class and then teach everyone else the rest of the class because like we didn't really need instruction. We were just taking it for athletic credit.
You just needed credit.
Right. Yeah, we needed that stupid fucking athletic credit.
I couldn't take a bowling class for my.
I had to take a physical
education, but bowling was not one of them that I could take.
Really?
I actually had to take something like nutrition or wellness.
We had to take those, too. We had to take one of those and one athletic.
I couldn't get away with just bowling.
What about you, Shannon?
I don't think I had to take.
You went to State, right?
Went to Michigan State.
Yeah. Go green.
Go white. Uh-huh.
Go gold.
I don't. Green. I didn't take like a single credit. Everything went to my 2 degrees. Like I planned it so I was super efficient.
Didn't taste any wasted classes. I mean, it was kind of lame, but
sure. I went to state too, and I don't have. I never took any athletic.
Hanging out over at off of MAC or going to Crunchies. And,
going to Crunchies all the time. Getting my bucket down. You know, drinking from the bucket.
I was a rib girl.
Like the rib. Yeah. The rib's fun though. I like the rib a lot.
Guys, we are coming down to 9 o'clock. This has been a great, fun show. I'm sure we'll have some more non-alcoholic beers to maybe cycle through while we are, you know, drinking on other shows, so we don't have to necessarily keep cracking open beers, because I know the two people said they don't want to bring these beers home. I will give them a good home if necessary. that's going to do it for us. Shannon, they can find you, shannon.beer.long on Instagram. Jack, Zatuna underscore liquor over on Instagram, Facebook, find updates when new products come out. Wendy, thank you so much. Welcome to the team.
Thank you.
A couple weeks, you'll probably be in the little intro once I pay for it. That's really, it's just me being lazy. I'm going to be honest with you. We actually have I found the same guy on Fiverr, and I just message him every, you know, whenever we get a new one. So he knows exactly what I want. And what's great is that like, he'll take like critiques. So like, and then, like, usually you only get like one or two, and I'll be like, you know, hey, no, I'm trying to get this, and I'll send him an audio of like what I'm looking for, and then he'll change it. So we really appreciate all that he does. I couldn't even tell you his name. We'll figure it out.
put it in the lane.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for us. Better on Draft podcast, Dry January episode number 2. Thank you so much for bringing all the beers, the bong water, obviously, to Nick Drinks. You can go find him at nickdrinks.com, which is his Instagram name. So it's DOTCOM. Follow him. Look up his YouTube, which is Nick Drinks, to see all of the non-alcoholic cocktails that he was making. He does a lot of great things. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, the Tuna Liquor. Once again, another plug. North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, the Ferndale set. And, of course, MI Beer Box. Look at Ed's got a great, nice little hoodie in there. That clothing is very, very comfy. We love it. We love Michigan Beer Box. If you use the code DRAFT, you get 20% off, DRAFT, at checkout. So go check it out. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Peace.